Welcome, this is Cindy Faye Solomon here again on the Global Product Management Talk, and this is the Lean Spec series. I'm here with Malcolm Knapp, who is an electrical engineer. My background is in software product management, and recently I've become a strategic product management and business management coach, helping people identify all the aspects necessary to achieving product excellence by design. Hi, Malcolm.
Hi, how's it going?
Okay, so we've done three of these discussions where we've discussed some of the fundamental perspectives of why product managers or people approaching any kind of complex product idea could benefit from having a process that enables documentation, that enables an ability to work cross-functionally and to identify what the vision of the product is in order to pull out, you say it better than I, but all the unknowns. Figure out what is known, test those assumptions, and figure out what the unknowns are in order to go into the building of the product.
Yeah, so this is, you know, this is all about trying to see what the overlap is. I'm coming from the hardware background, and this is a process that I use with many of my clients. And so what we're trying to do is just sort of see how does this map over into the sort of project management, product management sort of zone. Today, though, we wanted to sort of think about going through sort of an example of this in sort of live. So you actually had a product that you had.
I have a product or an idea that I've had for a number of years. I've used it as a experimental laboratory to actually teach people from a design thinking point of view to have a product to work through. And we've done some customer development on this product that has yet to be fully realized. And also, this is something that I do at Product Therapy Weekly, that people come in with ideas for products, or there are at some point in a product realization, or sometimes they're already launched, but they come up too late against things they hadn't known to think through. So I'll describe the product. Working name is Webcast Digest. It's a mobile application that for continuous learning. So on a daily basis and more, there are live digital events occurring that are webinars, that are webcasts, that are broadcasts, that are audio and visual, where an expert, often it is the product manager, is describing a product or service or software. Of course, my interest is in the software. And they are using visual slides or some way of depicting a visual to do a live training. They usually take place anywhere from 90 minutes to less. All of the big training and publishing companies make them available in their cross disciplines, from O'Reilly software, technical, DevOps, to training, to HR, to management, leadership, all of the things that are very valuable for product managers to get a sense of what's state of the art in an industry, what are new features of a product. But if you want to attend a webinar, you have to go to every different webinar platform or publisher or webinar producer to find out when their webinars are. There is no one place. The vision is that you're waiting for a bus, you're in between meetings, you pull up your app, you say, right now I'm available, what live event can I attend? Let me be able to attend and participate right from my phone.
I see. Okay, so basically the thing is that you know, this is sort of it's about filling in the sort of interstitial time, or like the time between the sort of different events that you're talking about, you know, that someone's doing throughout their day, is the idea?
Well, the assumption from the end user experience is that they would either plan ahead, and so they want an ability to find events in their area of interest that they could plan ahead, or it's on the fly. Mm. Hey, they happen to have this break. Mm. Why waste time when they could be learning something new? Especially, I was on the East Coast. I was on buses a lot. I was on trains a lot where I could connect to the internet.
Mm.
Also flying. Mm. So it's an opportunity to attend a live event, participate, have a quality experience, and do it when you plan ahead or you access it when you do have that moment.
Okay. So, yeah, so basically what you know, we're doing this, this sort of, we're doing this, you know, in audio. A lot of times I'll get up on a whiteboard and we'll draw out sort of block diagrams and stuff like that. But I think, you know, use your imagination and we'll go from there. So the thing we want to talk about or sort of start with is about, so this is the idea. It's sort of this mobile app. It gives you access, a common place to view these sort of webinars, basically. And that's sort of the description of what the product is, should do, the sort of need it is trying to solve. Now there's a question about what is the specific product you're actually going to, you know, make it. And so we start getting down into this sort of immediately is, you know, when the sort of what screens with an app, specifically we're thinking about sort of screens or features, I really like to think about what screens that does the user see. You know, and again, this is my coming from the hardware. The mapping is not perfect, but this has been very successful when I've done it with sort of hybrid, you know, projects that have sort of a computer sort of side and a hardware side. So that's the first question: is, you know, let's start listing out what screens that you want to have people see.
So it's very interesting that you immediately go to the concrete creation of the product. And I'm on the side of, well, what are the details of how we would deliver content to this product? And that's one of the issues, because you're immediately talking about, we're going to develop an app to convey or distribute this material.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm already aware of the competitive space of all the people who are doing webinars and webcasts on different platforms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but the thing is that, again, what the question comes back to for you, you have this, someone opens it up, you are the holder of the vision of this product. Someone sort of taps on the icon, what do they see first? What is the, so there's sort of usually like a sort of welcome screen, basically, is one of the first things that someone would see, right? You know, they open it up and
well,
they see, so what do you want them to sort of see first?
So, is it the first time they've ever touched the app, or is it now that they're already registered and put in their preferences?
Okay, so this is, again, this is great. So you already split out, well, it depends. And so that there's basically an onboarding behavior or process that you have to describe, and then there's sort of everyday usage of the app. And so what we sort of see is immediately by talking about a sort of, you know, feature, that it sort of leads directly into a behavior or something that sort of happens over time or as a sequence. And so we're thinking about features and behaviors. We have, that's a welcome screen, but then there's a behavior onboarding. Is what is the onboarding process? So let's think about that. So let's just take this and say for, onboarding, well, what do you want them to see?
So it would be questions about their preferences.
Okay.
What kind of, what information are you interested in learning about?
Preferences. And so what's great, that's good.
You know, what business areas of software or leadership or management or, gosh, we have like 25 different categories. There's the high-level categories. Is it technical or business?
But this is a good question, is that this is user experience stuff. So if you're trying to give someone 25 things...
It's too much.
It's too much, right? And so, yes, you could... All those things are great, but what is the subset or what are the things that you most want to know?
So here we would start with an MVP and a target audience, so we're developing specifically for this audience to test out all of the features and applications of it. And then once we got that down, then we'd move to a different vertical.
Okay.
So the immediate place that who gets this are people who are in education.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in adult education, or they're in specifically, you know, programming education.
Okay. So this is actually a sort of very good sort of to sort of step back. We've talked about features, we've talked about behaviors, and those are sort of two things that I like, as a distinction I really like making, because features are sort of the things that sort of don't really change with time, they're the sort of static parts of your project, and behaviors are sort of the things that do change with time and can be described by sort of sequences of steps, basically, is another way to put it. But then there's another category of sort of characteristics or things, and that's sort of that describe the whole product.
Right.
You know? And so this, you know, we sort of webcast digest, and so one of the sort of characteristics of this is the target audience is educators or education, you know,
or students, continuous learners.
Okay.
Who is everyone? That's really broad.
Well, and so this is actually really, I think, really good, because all those are different words, and they imply different sort of, they have different connotations to them, and continuous learner, I think, it's a very good descriptive term. And so one of the things we're sort of trying to sort of bring out here is what the names of the things we're going to be talking about, because these names are getting embedded in the product and what everyone will use going forward. So I think...
So that's what the value of the product is, mm-hmm. that everyone, in order to maintain their, not only their relevance in their profession, but stay up to date with the vast amount of new information that's available, that you have to be a continuous learner if you're not already in an industry that requires it, which anyone in technology or startups or innovation, this is part of it. It's just a given. They'd be drawn to doing it because they want to be continuously learning.
But it's good to sort of separate it out, because when you say education, that means everything from, you know, 5-year-olds to, you know, college people, and
well,
so this is sort of being precise about that. That's very
good. We're being so. Our first, our early adopters, we expect would be professional continuous learners involved in technology.
Okay.
Because even if you look at the history of who have been the providers and producers of online webinars, they've been technology, software, or at least the ones I'm aware of. Now, ideally, we would want the experience of using this so it would be available across the board to all ages. Although the content they'd be interacting with would be different, the device or the mobile application would be the same.
Yeah, okay. But the thing is that you can say, well, any, you're not going to restrict access to this,
right,
but you're just going to say, we're going to design it for, you know, professional continuous learners who are in technology.
Yes.
Okay, so now let's return back. This is all great, but let's return back. So we have, so the first screen, that's sort of like, it's basically sort of information about the user,
right? But there is a design aesthetic to what the brand is, which is that it's, even if we're dealing with highly technical information, it's fun. It's easy to use. It's not onerous. It's attractive, and there's some reward that just the using it is fun. So even though it's content heavy, there's a lot of information that you're going to get from using it, we want it to be designed in a playful, even business knowledge can be fun.
Yeah, so that's really good. But so then let's translate that over into something that is going to be sort of a characteristic of the site or of the app. And that's the question for me, is that there's a lot of these terms about making sort of it's easy to use, it's fun, it's exciting, that are really, you know, that's the experience that the user has, but it's not what is doesn't describe what is built.
Right.
It's sort of so that's the thing, is that what we want to do is we're trying to list out what we were thinking of building, and then checking, is this actually fun, or is this exciting, or does this have the experiential result that we're looking for? But I really want again.
Would a designer be able to hone in on how to decide? You know, I can describe what the experience is, but that's not an intellectual description.
Well, but this is the thing. You are the owner of the product right now, and so I'm sort of asking you what you want to see, and I can make suggestions, but ultimately it's your decision about
right.
What's going on. So for this sort of, but again, I really want to keep on going back to this thing. So they type in what their preferences are. What happens next? Sort of, you know.
So then they're presented with some choices.
Okay.
Hey, you want to learn about software.
Okay.
What languages do you want to learn? Or are you interested in new innovation? Are you interested in process? Are you interested in how-to, procedure?
Okay. So what are the sort of learning areas
right.
that you're interested
and,
in?
And here's where it's actually it's a marketing vehicle for the webinar producers because we would also present brand names.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, are you? Do you want to hear from Intel? Do you want to see what the new Microsoft products are?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to hear from, are you interested in automotive, Tesla?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to
know
about
yeah.
AI from
mm-hmm.
IBM?
So that implies that you have to, that this is, I mean, there is a sort of thing about what has to be on the screen. So now you're thinking about what's going to be there. You have a list, and you know this is pretty simple, but it does mean that you'll have to be able to have graphics that are easily switched out, for example. You know, so
yes.
you have to have. So that implies that you have to have a database if you want to have interaction with brands.
Yes.
You have to record their information. So this
yes.
says. So how do they interact with you?
So thank you for asking that, because that's so, it's so interesting to me, because whenever I presented this before, that's where we started.
Mm.
Well, who's the market? Who's paying for this?
Mm-hmm.
Who's providing the content? And we went to the experience of using it much later.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you get there in the end, but. It's
so
just,
there's
you know,
two
so.
Options
mm.
here.
Okay.
And this has to do with how it's funded and
mm-hmm.
how we do the development of it. Either it's a vehicle that can be white labeled by these brands to use it specifically to promote their content,
mm-hmm.
or they pay us to showcase them or include their content. And that's where the difficulty of development comes in. Are they providing us with API access to
mm-hmm.
their database
mm-hmm.
of info?
And that's actually what my question was how are you going to get the data from those brands into your app?
And here's,
so there's
right.
a thing about it. So you said there's API access. So is you know what? So now that's the question. But then, how is that going to get to the app is the question.
Well, and there's another level of complexity here,
mm-hmm.
which is why no one's done this yet,
mm-hmm.
is that all of the various platforms for distributing this content through a webinar,
mm-hmm.
live webinar experience, all those platforms are different.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not all mobile ready.
Mm-hmm.
So even if we make this content available, we have to move our user from the registration into their platform.
So now the question, so this is a question for me, is, we're now changed our sort of focus a little bit, but this is like, if we're thinking about behaviors of sort of everyday usage, sort of normal usage, basically, someone, you know, figures out an app, figures out a thing they want to see, now the question I have is they're in your sort of your app, they press the play button or whatever
right.
it is. Now, do they stay in your app or
right.
are they taken to someplace else?
So that's a whole, ideally they stay in our app,
okay.
right? And we own them and we own the experience.
Okay.
But here's where the great difficulty is, that everyone is using their own platforms that they're committed to, or they've purchased the production around.
Mm-hmm.
And those they want to own the customer experience.
Mm-hmm.
So our original MVP is, well, we just capture the schedule of these events.
Mm-hmm.
We make them available.
Okay.
And then we send our user to their platform, which means
okay.
they leave,
yeah.
which really the handicapped version of this is, we're just providing a calendar of everything that's available.
Well, this is really good. So normal uses, so there's a calendar screen. You know, this is the cool, this is the good thing to say. So again, we're talking about what you want to make, and so when you say MVP, that's what, you know, you're talking about that specific thing, and you know, when we're, you know, if you wanted to make something else, or you wanted to make something that's more like the final result or whatever else, then we would talk about something different. But in this case, we had this question that was coming up about, you know, stay on in the app or go to the sort of content provider's, you know, app or location on the web and view it there. If it was an unknown at this moment, like you just didn't know exactly, then what you would do is you would mark it down in the definition or in the lean spec, and you would mark it, but then you would mark it with like a question mark, or mark it in red, or sort of thing, to say that this was a thing that hadn't been worked out quite yet, that more information was needed to do. In this case, you basically have said, what we're going to do is just send people to the content platform themselves.
Well, that's what we're currently doing, or what we've done in the past in the online version of
yeah.
it.
Yeah, so that's fine, but I just sort of want to make sure that, I mean, just to sort of describe what you do if you are uncertain, is you don't have to not write anything down. You want to highlight those specifically, actually, because that uncertainty is one of the key things that gets dropped a lot of times. In this thing, you just say, when you're doing a lean spec, you do write that, you know, here's what we're thinking, but you explicitly state that it's uncertain.
Which is exactly why the value of the lean spec, because I do this kind of assessment when people
mm.
come to me with an idea
mm.
at any stage, and I start walking them through and asking them questions and probing. It's
mm.
very painful.
Mm-hmm.
But what I really appreciate about the lean spec is you have a way to organize this
mm-hmm.
yeah. beyond just, you know, where I start is the business model canvas, and then we move to a lean canvas, product canvas, but then it's still, we're identifying the marketing and maybe the experience
mm-hmm.
of it, but not how are we actually going to build it.
Yeah, and so this is the thing that there's, you can very easily describe things in very general terms, and what we want to do is really get down to, this is specifically what's happening, here's specifically how we're going to build it. And yes, those can change, but and there could be new information or things that are unknown, but the key point is you want to get down to that level. So
no, but wait, before we go there,
mm-hmm.
there's a fork here.
Yeah.
So when we get to this point, there's different product ideas
mm.
that would be up to the product manager to decide which
yeah.
direction do we go. So one of the issues in this space is that there are the big platform providers
mm-hmm.
who provide the ability to do webinars.
Yeah.
They are unable to, for the most part, you cannot go to that manufacturer of
mm-hmm.
the webinar product and say, hey, what webinars are happening today using your platform?
Mm-hmm.
They don't have an ability. They're just selling the platform capability.
Mm-hmm.
They're not also promoting their users,
mm-hmm.
which is a missed opportunity for
mm-hmm.
them. So that's almost like a, do we then go after a platform provider and just build a mobile application for them?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we stay with end users and it's a revenue issue?
It's a revenue issue.
In terms of, it's much easier to go to a platform provider who already has users and direct connection to who's paying them to use their services.
So this is what I say, is that if this question, this is an unknown, you don't quite know what's going on, but the thing is that those are completely different products.
They are.
And so what I would say is you cannot start the build until you resolve that question. You know, and so this is sort of one of the things that comes up, is that, you know, is this going to be a, you know, who is the user of the system, or who is going to be the main user, you know, that does. And the question is, are you going to make it really easy for a content provider to use the system and add functionality to their platform? Or are you going to make it very easy for users to find a whole bunch of different information from a bunch of different platforms and combine it to one place into a calendar? And so this is the sort of thing is that both may have a calendar, but one, you know, you're choosing between, you know, restricting yourself to one provider, basically, at least to start with, and maybe that's it, you know, or, and so this is a classic decision about you have to choose one. You know,
and
they apply a huge amount to the lower levels. When we're talking about informational hierarchy, this is like right at the top, you know, and you cannot, so this is where you say you cannot build it until you make that sort of decision.
Right, and it's a funding issue.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why the fork is important to for the inventors or for the founders,
mm-hmm.
To determine, well, where are you going to get the funding?
Mm-hmm.
If you go, but even if you do go to one of the webinar platform providers,
mm.
they still need to see a functioning product to invest in. You still have to prove that you can execute.
Well, but that's maybe the case, but if you're going to those people and you're saying, add this to your site, then you are making a product for them. So you have made, if that's your decision, then you are making it for them as a target customer and not the end user, end content, the person who's consuming the content as the end customer, you know, necessarily. And so I would say that you know, making that decision, then you can still make an MVP, you can build something, but that's exactly the sort of question that if you don't and you start building something, it'll come back and suddenly you'll pivot, and then you're making a whole different product with half the time and half the money and all this sort of stuff like
right.
that.
Right, and know? This is where the customer development comes in to go test both of these ideas. Basically, you're testing where is the product market fit?
Mm-hmm.
Is it with the producers of the platform,
mm-hmm.
Or is it with the end users?
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, it's almost like a two-sided market, because
mm-hmm.
if you had a lot of end users already using your MVP, then this is attractive to the webinar producers,
mm-hmm.
if not the webinar platforms.
Yeah.
You know, the webinar platforms don't necessarily need a mobile application because
mm-hmm.
that's not their focus.
Mm-hmm.
They're making enough money providing their platform. It
yeah.
would just be an added maybe. They don't care about it necessarily.
Yeah.
The end users, there's a potential untapped market there because something like this doesn't yet exist,
mm-hmm.
except for those platform providers who thought mobile first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's limited to three right now. More and more are coming on board,
mm-hmm.
but they face the other issue of getting producers and getting users to
mm-hmm.
adopt.
Yeah, so this is the sort of thing is that you know, what we're trying to do here is you're forcing these questions to be answered, and you know what we're going to come up on our time a little bit pretty soon. So I sort of maybe what we could do is sort of step out for a second and say this is a very short. I mean, you know, when I do this, 2 hours minimum for this sort of thing. There's a whole bunch of questions that have come up to me already about like databases and servers and, you know, how do you manage people who don't have mobile friendly sort of content. You know, there's all these sort of, and the specific solutions to all those questions have to be figured out, you know. And if I ask you, and as the product, you know, the sort of vision holder for the product, and you don't know, then you as the holder have to figure it out.
Right.
I, you know, me as the engineer, me as, you know, the designer, whoever else it is, that's, you know, not my area of expertise. It's not the, you know, that's a decision about the user experience for the, the sort of user vision in some way. And so that's something that is outside of my domain to make a decision about.
Right. And it's a perfect experiment, or it's a really good teaching tool for product managers, especially those at the beginning of their careers and in startups, that this is how you learn product management, under fire, because you'll be working with a CEO, you'll be working with engineers who are already building, they haven't thought through all of this stuff.
And so, but this is the key thing, is that if you can do this early enough, before Build has really started, then and you're talking to the high-level people in the engineering side and the design side and stuff like that, then you have a moment to work out these big questions before charging off down a road that may not end up being the product you really want to make, you know?
Right.
And because this sort of thing, that question about who's your target customer, is a big deal, you know? And it's something...
It's key,
and it's but it's also something that as an engineer, you know, if I want the product to be as successful as that, I care about that question
right.
being answered.
Right.
Even if I don't care, if I have no idea how it's answered, or that it's something that is something that I don't have to answer it myself.
Right,
but
you
want
to build something that's going to get used.
But it's also, I want to know who I'm building it for, and so I can know, you know, I know what's going on with that, and we can sort of then, because that will then answer a lot of these questions. I mean, I remember hearing just described recently is that, you know, end users, like consumers, will not accept anything. They will do everything to the product. They'll, you know, throw it in the water. They'll crash it. They'll run it with 10,000 other applications in the background, and then they'll complain when it doesn't work.
Right.
Whereas a platform provider will, if you know, will you can say it has to be run in this environment with this software and these sort of things, and they will do it for you. And if it doesn't work, then you can say, well, did you? And it's outside of that those parameters, you can sort of say, well, not our problem.
Right, we don't have to support it because
yeah. and
you
so,
didn't follow our
and,
rules.
And so as an engineer, that question about who the customer is has a big impact about how much testing has to happen, how much you know validation, how much design has to go into that, you know, user testing itself, you know, all that sort of stuff. You know, it may not be a specifically engineering question, but it has definite engineering implications to it.
Right.
So you have to deal with it before the build.
So I want to invite the people who are listening, if you have insights, perspectives, suggestions, questions, we invite you to join this conversation because our intention here is to be transparent about developing this process to make it more universally available as well as to increase product excellent results.
Yeah, so when I'm very interested in that this is a process that I've been using in my consulting and it's been very successful sort of bringing out these issues to the surface. But it's done from the hardware side and it's done from sort of my position as an engineer. I'm very interested to see how it can translate into the sort of project management, product management and into the software side, and so I'm very interested to get everybody's feedback on that.
Awesome.
Yeah, great.
Well, thank you, Malcolm, for another great progression in the Lean Spec series. And if you'd like to interact with this, you can go to startupproduct.com, where I will be posting these series as well as an opportunity to interact with the conversation in the blog area, and you'll also be posting the audio on your site?
Yeah, so I'll be posting it on engineeraccelerator.com. It's the site that I'm running. It's a professional training program that I'm helping get started. So it'll be there, and you can interact over there as well.
Great. And also, this and the other Global Product Management syndicated innovation series with Chad McCullough is also available at blogtalkradio.com/prodmgmttalk and on Twitter and other online platforms. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Malcolm.
Thank you.